All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, we seek His aid, and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our own soul and the wickedness of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is no one to lead them astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to stray, there is no one to guide them toward the right. I will believe their witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is alone and without partner. And I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of the prophets. O Allah, exalt Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have exalted Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. Amen. O Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you have blessed Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely you are praised and magnified. To proceed, inshallah ta'ala, this is another lecture in a series of lectures titled Lessons in Islam, where I take the works of the students of knowledge and of the shuk of this noble deen, and I introduce their works to this website. I am currently still doing the works of Imam Muhammad al-Sharif. May Allah strengthen him. Ameen. So inshallah, to proceed. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in his home and his lower leg was uncovered. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu an, he came in, and then Umar radiyallahu an, he came in also. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when these two noble companions came into his home, he sat and he remained in the same position, not covering his lower leg. And then Uthman radiyallahu anhu arrived at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's home. And then the Prophet sat up and he covered his lower leg and he greeted him with the warmest of greetings. Ummu Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Mother Aisha radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, she witnessed this, and she later questioned her husband Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about his actions. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not be shy from he whom the angels are shy from?" Subhanallah. In the hadith of Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, which you can find in the section of recorded lectures, you'll see the work done by Brother Abu Ibrahim as well as Brother Abdul Rahim. If you go back, you can review the hadith of Jibril. But at any rate, in this hadith, when Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and he asked him about Islam, Iman, and Ihsan, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, when asked, "What is Iman?" he said, "Iman is to believe in Allah, in His angels, in His books, His messengers, the last day, and the divine decree, the good and the bad thereof." Today, inshallah ta'ala, we shall talk about Iman in the angels. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, all throughout the stages of our creation, the angels have been there with some duty. When we were nothing in our mother's womb, an angel was there breathing the ruh, the soul, into us. They were there every day reporting to Allah our salah, whether we made it or whether we didn't make it. They are there every second recording what we whisper and what we speak. And when the time of our death comes, they are ready to take our soul. And when the day of judgment commences, an angel will blow the horn to announce its arrival. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, having belief or iman in the angels is indeed a pillar of a Muslim's iman. Angels are a creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They were created from light. They do not eat, nor do they drink. They do not have the characteristics of being male or female, nor do they tire. Some spend their entire existence in ruku or in sujood. And then when the day of judgment is called, they will raise their heads and say, "Glory to you, our Lord. We did not worship you in a way befitting your majesty." Think about this, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that the average age of the people of his ummah will be between 60 and 70 years. So imagine spending that whole time not eating and drinking and talking and doing what we do, but spending that whole time with our head on the floor, prostrating and supplicating to Allah Azza wa Jal for our entire existence. And then rising up on the Day of Judgment and thinking that we have not worshipped Allah in a manner befitting His Majesty. This is something that we cannot conceive of. Yet the angels, some amongst the angels, spend their entire existence, which is not a mere 60 or 70 years, but thousands upon thousands of years of existence, in sajda toward Allah Azza wa Jal, and yet they still feel that they have not worshipped Allah in a manner befitting His Majesty. SubhanAllah. They are the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, a creation that took place before the creation of all of our father, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam told us about their characteristics and their duties. And amongst these characteristics are the following. Firstly, their creation is huge, meaning they're huge creatures. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "I saw Jibril in the fashion that he was originally created in. He had 600 wings, each wing filling the entire horizon, the east to the west, as far as the eye could see." And this event that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw is mentioned in the Noble Quran in Surah Taqwir. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in translation, "And indeed he," meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "saw him," meaning Jibril alayhi salatu wa sallam, "in the clear horizon to the east." Secondly, the malaika, the angels, they have the ability to change shape. As we know in the story of Miriam, the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, and in this hadith of Jibril, when all the companions saw him, he had on a garment that was intensely white, and his hair was intensely black. And even though they didn't know this man, they said he had no signs of travel on him. SubhanAllah. Thirdly, they live in the heavens, and from there they descend to carry out the duties appointed to them by Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Shura, in translation, he says, "Nearly the heavens might rent asunder from above them by His Majesty, and the angels glorify the praises of the Lord." This, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, is just a glimpse at some of their characteristics. As for their relationship with the mu'mineen, with those believers, those who have iman, this relationship is a very close one. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that they witnessed the gatherings of Muslims in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, "Allah has some angels who look for those who celebrate the praises of Allah on the roads and paths. And when they find some people celebrating the praises of Allah, they call each other saying, 'Come to the object of your pursuit.'" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, "Then the angels encircle them with their wings up to the sky of the world." And then he added, "After those people celebrate the praises of Allah and the angels go back, the Lord asked them," meaning those angels, even though Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, he said to his angels, "What do my slaves say?" And the angels replied, "They say, Subhanallah, wa Allahu Akbar, wa Alhamdulillah, glory be to Allah, Allah is most great, and all praise is due to Allah. And then Allah asked the angels, did they see me? And the angels replied, no, by Allah, they did not see you. And Allah says, how would it have been if they saw me? The angels replied, if they saw you, they would worship you more devoutly and celebrate your glory more deeply and declare your freedom from any resemblance to anything more often. Allah then says to the angels, what do they ask me for? And the angels reply, they ask you for paradise. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the angels, did they see it? And the angels say, no, by Allah, O Lord, they did not see it. And Allah says, how would it have been if they saw it? And the angels say, if they saw it, they would have greater desire for it and would have greater zeal for it. And then Allah says, from what do they seek refuge? And the angels reply, they seek refuge from the hellfire. And Allah Azza wa Jalla again asked them, even though he knows best, did they see it? And the angels say, no, by Allah, O Lord, they did not see it. And Allah says, how would it have been if they saw it? And the angels say, if they saw it, they would flee from it with the extreme fleeing and would have extreme fear of it. Then Allah says, I make you witness that I have forgiven them. Allah's Apostle sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then added, one of the angels would say, there was such and such person among them, and he was not one of them, but he had just come for some need. Allah would then say, these are those people whose companions will not fall into misery. SubhanAllah. So imagine the tremendous reward that you and I are getting at this very moment, because we're here simply out of the remembrance and out of the love and the fear of Allah. And even those who come here for some other reason, because they like spending time with the Muslims, or even because they like to be seen, or whatever the case may be, Allah says about this particular person that these are those people whose companions will not fall into misery. Allah Azza wa Jal even rewards those people. SubhanAllah. So as you hear me say so many times when I talk, فَبِيَيَا لَا إِرَبِّكُمْ مَا تُقَدِّدَانِ. And which are the favors of your Lord that you deny? SubhanAllah. And indeed, the angels of Allah, they love the believers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves someone, he calls to Jibril alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he says to Jibril, O Jibril, I love such and such a person. So love him. Then Jibril will call to the angels of the heavens. And Jibril will say to these angels, Allah loves such and such a person. So love him. And then the angels will love that person. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place acceptance on earth for that believer. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. And also one of the great mercies that Allah bestows on the believers is that the angels, by Allah's command, they pray for the believers. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us saying, any servant that prays for me, an angel will pray for him. So every single time when we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we're referring to the Prophet, or Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, when we make the tashahud and as-salat, singing prayers of the Prophet, the angels turn around and in return, they pray for us. SubhanAllah. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that there is an angel appointed to the prayers one does for his brother in his absence. And the duty of this angel is to say Ameen, grant the prayer, and to do the same. So when we pray for our brothers, or we pray for our sisters,
like they are in the Muslim. Brother Sali is not here for us right now.
Brother Sali, for example.
So we make a dua for Brother Sali. the angel will say Ameen to that dua and wish the same to us. SubhanAllah. And there is no doubt, that the angels assist the mu'mineen, the believers in the jihad, Alhamdulillah. You can see it today when the Muslims are tremendously outnumbered and outgunned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still, from His mercy, grants victory to the believers. And we have this example from the lifetime of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Badr. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he left Medina with a small band of 317 companions. Not 317 soldiers, but just companions who were going to attack the caravan of Abu Sufyan. They were not prepared to fight. They were just there to get this caravan. But when the Muslim army found themselves confronted with over 1,000 soldiers from the Quraysh, not just the 1,000 soldiers, but they were armed to the teeth with weapons, horses, and preparations. Indeed, the battle looked grim for the believers, especially the tenth. They were not soldiers. They had not battled together as a group for the cause of Allah. Indeed, many of them had fought before for the Quraysh or for their particular tribe, but never for the cause of Allah as a death. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into his tent, and he prayed, and he raised his hand high, invoking victory from Allah azza wa jal. He raised his hand so high in the supplication that his soul would fall off of his body. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu was there to place it back on his shoulders every time it would fall off of him. And the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cried and prayed until Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu felt sympathy from the state that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This verse can be found in Surah Anfal, where he said, "Remember when your Lord inspired the angels, verily I am with you. So keep firm those who have believed. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who have disbelieved. So strike them over their necks and smite over their fingers and toes." So Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam about those who attended the victory of Badr. The Prophet said, Jibril said, what is the position of those who attended Badr amongst you? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, they are the best from amongst us. And then Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam said, likewise, the angels that attended Badr are the best amongst the angels. SubhanAllah. And indeed, in regard to the believers, the angels are there when a mu'min dies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of that day when they come to extract the souls of the believers. Allah says in the Quran, "Verily those who say, our Lord is Allah alone, and they have lived upright, on them the angels would descend at the times of their death, saying, fear not, nor grieve, rather receive the glad tidings of paradise, which we have been promised." So now that we have discussed the relationship between the angels and the believers, let us now discuss the relationship between the angels and the kuffar, the disbelievers. Just like the angels are part of the life of the mu'min, part of our death, and part of our resurrection, indeed, they are also a part of the life of the kuffar, but in a different way. The Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that when Allah azza wa jal hates a person, he calls to Jibril alayhi salatu wa sallam and he says, "O Jibril, I hate such and such a person, so hate him." Then Jibril will call to the angels of the heavens and he will say, "Allah hates such and such a person, so hate him." And the angels will hate him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place displeasure on earth for that person. Subhanallah. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar mocked him by requesting to see the angels in this life, claiming that only then they would believe in Allah azza wa jal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recorded their statement in the Quran. For them and many others are people who believe with their eyes and yet not in their hearts. Allah says in Surah Furqan, in translation, "In those who expect not to meet with us, those who deny the day of resurrection and the life of the hereafter say, why are not the angels sent down to us? Or why do we not see our Lord? Indeed, they think too highly of themselves and are scornful with great pride. On the day when they see the angels, no glad tidings will there be for the criminals. And they will say, forbidden to you is any sort of glad tidings." And then these people, it's kind of difficult, sister, but I'm doing it, inshallah. And then they will enter into the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about their conversation with the angel custodians of the hellfire. Allah azza wa jal says in Surah Ghafir, don't worry about it here, continue what you're doing, it's very important, inshallah. So go right ahead. Barakallahu feek. Allah says in the Quran, "And those in the hellfire will say to the keepers, the angels of the hellfire, they will say, call your Lord to lighten for us a day of the punishment." And then they will reply, the angels of the hellfire will reply to them, "Did there not come to you your messengers with clear proofs?" And the people of the hellfire will say, "Yes." Then the angels of the hellfire will say, "Then pray." And the prayers of the disbelievers is to no avail. Subhanallah. So my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, what is our duty toward these angels? It is to believe in them and to respect them in the ways that they deserve. Thus, when you and I hear, and we should pay close heed to this fact, when you and I hear that the angels do not enter the houses that have dogs and images, we should immediately get up and rid ourselves of that which will rob our houses of their blessed presence. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in an authentic hadith that the angels will not enter a house in which there is an image or a dog. It is unfortunate that many Muslim homes have found a place on their shelves to put up idols of animals or dolls, not the dolls that our children play with, but like the little ceramic porcelain dolls and things like that, and pictures on the walls. So when the time for Salat comes, they may cover it, or they may not. But it doesn't matter. That is a house that is robbed of the angels' blessed presence, protection, and their dua. And when angels are not there, most likely there is a replacement for them. The devils and the jinns will find this place as a place of refuge. May Allah azza wa jal protect us from this outcome. Ameen. And in conclusion, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, the closest angel to us are those on every human shoulder, writing the good deeds and the bad deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran in Surah Ka'af when he says in translation, not a word does he or she utter except that there is a watcher near him ready to record it. If you and I, if we had a tape recorder on both of our shoulders and there was a competition that whoever glorifies Allah will get $1 for each time, and that whoever speaks ill will get one lash, will be beaten with one lash. What do you think would happen to the state of the Muslim community, brothers and sisters? Indeed, it would ignite in tasbih. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa Allahu Akbar. The people will become so busy with the remembrance of Allah that even if you or I were to say to them, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, these people wouldn't even break the tasbih because they would want to get this material gain, this $1 for the subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa Allahu Akbar. So we ask, how are you, brother? All you would hear, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa Allahu Akbar. At the end of the day, this person would get $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $1 million. So who amongst us would not want to take this opportunity to get such a beautiful gain with such little effort? $1 for every time we praise Allah. But indeed, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I submit to you that when we take part in this tasbih, that the reward that we're getting from our Lord is great, much greater than the one American dollar or anything of that nature. It's much greater. But so many times we neglect, we spend our tongue and keep our tongue busy with backbiting and in the pursuit of the dunya and playing the games and singing the songs and all these different things when we're missing so many beautiful opportunities to get the great reward from Allah with them. So in conclusion, my second conclusion, I repeat the verse that I repeated earlier. فَبِيَيَّ لَا يَرَبِّكُمْ مَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? I have said what I have said, and I pray that Allah with y'all forgive me and forgive you. If I said anything that is offensive, please forgive me, it wasn't my intention. All that is good and correct is from Allah and Allah alone, and the mistakes are from myself. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there are any questions or concerns or corrections, I submit the floor to the Sheikh who is here. Sheikh Yusuf Efnis, inshallah, he will be kind enough to take the questions. Because it's from the etiquette of the student of knowledge that when someone superior is there, that they keep their mouth shut and that those of the appropriate knowledge speak. بارك الله فيك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.